Hello and welcome to the podcast series called Behind the Athlete. My name is Raf Agostino and I have the privilege of working at School Sport Victoria. You might have noticed that we're really excited by the athletes that have come through our Team Vic pathway, the athletes we're calling Team Vic alumni. These athletes have gone on to be elite athletes and even wear the green and gold and represent their country and become an Olympian. We're pretty excited by that. So we knew there were life lessons to be learned by talking to not just the athletes, but the people who are support staff and have played a significant role in these athletes becoming who they are. So enjoy this short podcast series called Behind the Athletes as we dive into the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, as we talk to parents, coaches, teachers, principals, anyone who's had a significant part in these Team Vic alumni athletes becoming elite athletes and Olympians. We're really excited and we hope you get lots of lessons out of this short series. Enjoy.
Did you know? School Sport Victoria offers 650,000 sporting opportunities in 31 different sports. At 10,700 events across the state, every single year. That's a lot of kids playing sport. And for over 25 years, the Victorian School Sports Awards have recognised more than 1,500 students, teachers and volunteers for excellence and outstanding contribution to school sport. Now that's a champion effort.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Athlete podcast. And today I'm joined by the very lovely Todd and Meg Viney, who is Jack Viney's mum and dad. How are you both?
Going well, thanks, Raf.
Very well, thanks, Raf.
Now, you guys must be super excited for Saturday. This is going to be a big game.
It is. it's going to be a big one. Yeah, they don't come around very often. It's 21 years since Melbourne's last grand final, and we haven't won one in 57 years, it's going to be a big occasion. Hopefully it finishes well for the Demon supporters.
Great, yeah, and look, it's probably a dumb question being Jack Viney's mum and dad, but you must be backing the Demons, right, to win?
Absolutely. It's been a long time coming. They've put in a lot of blood, sweat and tears to get to this stage, and hopefully they will come away very worthy winners on the day.
And it's nice that the nation seems to be, at least the talk at the moment, is that they're backing the underdogs, so to speak, and the underdogs of Melbourne not being on the premiership stage for 21 years. So it must be nice to have that much, you know, different people backing the team, right?
Yeah, no, it is good. It's everyone loves an underdog in Australia. So, you know, the Bulldogs were that a couple of years ago against the Sydney Swans in that final, and they got the their premiership cup after a long stint. I think we're the longest standing team without winning one. So it'd be nice to have everyone behind us that don't follow the Bulldogs. Hopefully that means something and we can get the job done.
Hopefully. Now we're here to talk about Jack, and Jack finally came through the Team Vic alumni pathway, or Team Vic pathway. He's a Team Vic alumni athlete, and he came through the Team Vic AFL pathway. I'm not sure of the years there. I'll get them up as we go. But we're here to talk about his performance and his journey in the Team Vic program. What was it like for you guys as a family when he was going through those younger years?
It was really important time for him. Even though they were only primary school kids, you know, that was basically the start of the pathway for him to become an AFL player. Yep. And so many other players that are playing AFL, it's certainly not the only way, because there's plenty of kids that have gone on to play AFL footy that didn't make that, you know, that team. But for a lot, it's amazing how many kids have come through that pathway. So that was the start of it. Jack, you know, took it really seriously. He was lucky enough to have really good coaches through that period and good teammates. He loved his time. The parents had a real camaraderie, and it was a great development path for him.
And he came through at 2006 as a 12 years and under athlete as well. He went to Echuca Primary School, and in high school, correct me if I'm wrong, he was at Carey Grammar, is that right?
Yeah, so he started off Camberwell South Primary School, and then we moved to Echuca after I finished playing footy, and then he spent some time at 208 in Echuca, which was a great school for him, and that's where he met his great mate, Ollie Wines, who just won the Brownlow Medal. So it was an exciting time for him in Echuca, living in the country.
It is actually exciting that Ollie Wines won it. He's such a nice boy. We had the pleasure of interviewing Clayton Oliver's mum and dad last night, who are Steve and Michelle, and they also spoke very highly of Ollie Wines and his influence on Clayton especially. I guess for you as a family, though, was there a time when you thought, you know, this Jack, he might be drafted, you know, he's going to make it? Was there a time when that penny dropped for you guys as a family?
It's a good question, because it was really from an early age. He went, you know, he seemed to go to Auskick a year earlier than most kids. And then he started playing football for the Ashburton Redbacks and always was one of the best players on the team. So he always was one of the better kids that stood out. So you probably don't think about it too much early days. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get to the Vic under 12 school, schoolboy team, and he's in that. And I think he was captain or vice captain.
Vice captain.
So he's one of the best kids in that. And then the world just starts turning. So you always knew he had a bit of natural talent.
Yeah.
What always stood out to us was his competitive spirit. Sometimes that was really good for him. Sometimes that held him back in some areas. But we always thought it may be good for him when he got to the AFL level.
So I guess on that, as parents, what advice, if there was parents listening now thinking they've got the next AFL draft pick as a 15-year-old living with them, what advice would you give to those parents that think they've got the next kid there?
Well, Todd's probably the best one to answer this question because he's the one that's been involved in recruiting and watching and recruiting kids coming through. But from a parent's perspective, just letting the kids play football, just enjoying watching them play football.
Yeah.
The rest takes care of itself. There's so many other facets that are involved in getting to that top level. If you love your footy and you just go out there to enjoy it and have fun and do the best that you can on the day, if the talent's there and the competitiveness is there, it's a funny how recruiters will find a way to find you no matter where you are. So I would just say to parents, just enjoy the journey and let the rest take care of itself.
Yeah, look, that's pretty much what I think. You know, the kids have got to enjoy what they're doing. They need to be passionate about it, enjoy it. And if they do, well, then they've got every chance of becoming really good at what they do. But if you try and force it, if you try and dictate your time, the kids' time playing in the midfield,
yeah,
you know, putting pressure on the junior coaches, and
it
just backfires big time. So enjoy the journey. Let the coaches coach. Parents just sit back and be parents.
Yeah.
And if your child's got talent, they'll find a way, and they've got a chance. If they're good enough, they'll get found.
And you guys seem to be answering the questions as we go. You're answering so amazingly in terms of giving some life lessons. Before we get into the enjoyment part's really important, and letting parents be parents and coaches be coaches, which is also important. Is there a layer of complication, or does it add a layer of difficulty with a family that and a child that's from a country location? Like you guys you're located, I think, in Echuca. Have I got that right?
We were in Echuca.
Right.
But now we're in a place called Rochford, which is in Massillon Ranges.
Right. And does it
hour out of town, really?
And being as Jack grew up in Echuca, did that add a layer of complication? Did that add a layer of complexity coming from the country?
Well, in some regards, it's harder for the country kids, right. But in the long term, it's a real strength. Because right. when the kids are coming through those pathways, they have to travel further for training, for competition. So the kids could be traveling, on weekends 2 to 3 hours to go play a game of sport. When they become a little bit older and they're in the Murray Bush Rangers or Bendigo Pioneers, it's a really big catchment area.
Yeah.
They might be traveling 2 or 3 hours, 3 times a week, which takes its toll with the families. Family's got to be able to be in a position to be able to do that in the first place, but then that puts pressure on schoolwork after long days, going to training and coming back and doing schoolwork and homework. So it becomes harder, but if they do make it, the kids in the country, as a general rule, not everyone, but they become really resilient.
Right.
They've got a natural work ethic. And I've just had to do it maybe a little bit harder than some of the city kids, and that stands them in really good stead when they get into the AFL because it's a pretty robust industry.
Well, I mean, we really should take our hat off to parents like yourselves, and if there is a premiership medallion that comes your way on Saturday, they should have one for parents too, because you guys have done a lot of work in terms of putting a lot of energy into it, time into it, petrol, feeding Jack as well. That's probably didn't come cheap. So pretty amazing stuff. And sending him to Team Vic as well, like with the uniform and the national championships at different states, that also isn't a cheap exercise as well. So hats off to you guys. You've done amazing at doing that. And that's why we're doing these sort of podcasts, is we're trying to showcase that it's not just about Jack getting to the big stage on Saturday. It's actually all the work and energy that's gone into getting him to where he is today.
Yeah, look, it's been worth every cent and every inch of time, really. It's been so worth it. Just to see the joy that it's brought Jack over the journey. I mean, he's been very determined from a very early age, mm-hmm. His love of football. I actually asked him this the other day when we were FaceTiming, is when did it start for him? And he said, well, how old's Miller now, Mum? And he can't remember a time where he just didn't want to play football. It's always been a dream of his. And I think that's what made our journey a little bit easier as well, because we knew how much he wanted it. We knew how much he was prepared to sacrifice. And he sacrificed a lot. He sacrificed parties. He sacrificed sleepovers. He sacrificed playing other sports to put football first. So I think those are the things that don't get people don't see behind the scenes on the way to where he's got to now, is the sacrifices that he's made. It's been well and truly worth it, and that's what would make the win on Saturday just so much sweeter.
That's right. And look, I think you do hit the nail on the head there, Meg, that we don't see the sacrifices or the choices that players make to go to bed early, to eat right, to not stay up late playing gaming and all that. So those choices that make the man who he is today, and you've hit on some of them. But just before, Todd mentioned something about enjoyment. What did you guys have to do to keep the enjoyment factor of sport in Jack's life? What did you do to foster enjoyment of sport?
I would say absolutely nothing. He just loved sport all the time. And if he couldn't play it, if he missed out due to injury or that was probably the only thing that held him back, being injured in some way, he just loved it. He absolutely loved, couldn't wait to get out there. The night before a game, he would be to bed early. Wake up early, he'd have the footy with him. He'd always be one of the first to training and one of the last to leave training. He just couldn't get enough of it.
I think you take away the pressure of and the importance of winning. Winning and losing. It's just go out and be as best as good as you can, be a team player, enjoy it, win, lose or draw, Don't get too caught up in whether you win or lose, because then that can take away the enjoyment. The kids, for a long time, they all tend to keep a score regardless of whether there's a scoreboard. they have a fair idea who wins and loses, but don't make such a big thing of it as a parent. And just support them. And, there's often after match functions where parents and the kids get together, we always used to go to those, and the kids would run around and get a trophy and then run around for hours afterwards in the dark, having a good time. So just give them those opportunities.
Well, I mean, you've given another great lesson, take away the pressure of winning and losing. And just before we go on, we should mention that Jack's daughter, is that right? Jack's daughter is in the background here?
Yes, Jack's daughter's with us at the moment. she's a bit like Jack. She's got plenty of energy. And she might be in the AFLW before a few more years.
Well, look, the whole winning and losing thing, you know that quite well because you yourself played for Melbourne and you yourself have been a coach. And, I mean, of course, we're here to talk about Jack, but let's spend a minute talking about your achievements as well. That's pretty amazing. You played for Melbourne for how long?
I played 13 seasons for the Demons, yeah.
Wow. So when Jack was signed up with the Demons, it wasn't just, I'm going to change alliance. This was your alliance. This was your team.
Yeah, no, well, he obviously was still young when I retired. I think he might have been 4 or 5.
Yeah.
When I retired. So he had a Melbourne affiliation. He used to come into the change rooms after the games, ran out through the banner with me on my last game. So he had a real affiliation with the club from a young age. But then, I got out of playing and then into coaching, which took me to some other clubs. So for a brief period of time, he followed Hawthorn and then Adelaide Crows when I went there. But probably had a real affiliation to Hawthorn because that was real impressionable stage when I was coaching.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, when kids are little, they just go for whoever's on top of the ladder. Right? it changed your I think Sydney Swans were there for a little bit, and whoever was up on top, the kids kind of backed them in. So it really wasn't until he was a teenager, was it?
And then part of the AFL system is if he was eligible to be drafted, there was a thing called the father-son rule.
Right.
If the father of an AFL club had played 100-plus games, then the club's got the right to bid on that player. So that was a process that Jack went through, and he didn't have to go the father-son route, but he decided that's something that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He's inherited the Demon jumper.
Which is fantastic. That must have been a really proud day for you, having him selected for that team. Is that right? Having him drafted for the team?
Yeah, no, it was. You don't often think about that type of heritage, I guess, but to be able to play my whole career there and then Jack following in the footsteps. And one of the other things that happened, further on in the career was I was lucky enough to be captain for a few years, and then Jack was lucky enough to be named co-captain of Melbourne. I think that's the first time in history at any AFL club that a father-son had been captain of at Melbourne. It was the first time in Melbourne's history that a father-son had been captain, both captains of the club. So that was when you think back in hindsight, that's a pretty special occasion.
Definitely. And I think I'm just writing that down as we go, because that's pretty special. That's pretty unique. There's certainly plenty of parents that can talk about their kids making an AFL draft, but it's pretty rare to say that a child of theirs has been drafted to the team that they played for and captained as well. That's pretty phenomenal, actually.
Yeah, no, it's something. I was involved at the footy club in an administration point of view, so you try not to get caught up in all that because you're trying to do a job. But in reflection, after being out of the game now for a couple of years, and you think about the Melbourne Football Club, it's the oldest football club in the world.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, that is something that you pinch yourself on.
I guess the only thing that would make it sweeter is if you were actually playing as well, but that couldn't happen. Who would win if you were on the field together?
Yeah. No, I think that was never going to happen. It was well and truly done early.
Look, I think it's, part of it. You've mentioned that you've got another son, is that right, Mitch?
Max.
Max, sorry, Max.
Yeah, Max is our youngest one. He's 3 years younger than Jack. He never went down the football route, although he had some talent. He played first football for school.
Yep.
But he went more down a martial arts. So he's into Brazilian jiu-jitsu and he's quite successful in his own right in that.
And how did you, as mum and dad and as parents, how did you manage when they were younger? How did you manage the achievements between both the boys? Because they, you know, you both talked about how they've both been really good. How did you manage those achievements and the attention there?
Didn't really have to manage it at all because the boys are very close. They're very different and they really respect what each other does and their respective sports. I think Jack secretly, well, maybe not so much secretly, but he would love to be able to do what Max can do because Max is now a brown belt. He's a bee's whisker away from becoming a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So he can make Jack tap out in a heartbeat. and Jack would be able to, he'd love to be able to do that. And I think, as Todd alluded to before, Max has had his time of playing football. He could have pursued football if he chose to, but he decided at a very early age that martial arts was what he wanted to focus on. And that's been just as time consuming. He's competed internationally and nationally, and he's also had to sacrifice a lot for his sport. But the boys just, they love to swap notes and talk. I mean, Jack would love to talk more Brazilian jiu-jitsu with Max than the other way around, because football is obviously very well documented and shown in the media. So Jack actually likes to find a chance to not talk about football if he can. But no, they manage it really well, and I've never had to manage it because they've never clashed with each other, they've never had to compete against each other, and they've both enjoyed what they do and they both respect what each other does.
Yep. Very good. Now, before, Todd, you mentioned something interesting before, that let parents be parents and coaches be coaches, and you yourself have come from a coaching background as well, you know. There was a time when you were Mark Philippoussis' coach in terms of strength and conditioning coach for tennis. So you know coaching really well. So how does a parent who knows coaching really well, while they've got a son who's ready for the draft, how do you keep that boundary?
Look, to be honest, it's not easy, particularly if you've got a background in the particular sport. So, but I think it's not a problem only for fathers that have played football talking to their sons that have played football. This is a generational thing that fathers trying to pass on any advice to their teenage sons, sometimes fraught with danger. They like to find out their own way. Sometimes that's the hard way. We always try and put old heads on young shoulders, but really I'm sure Jack at times has listened to what I've had to say, but more often than not, you can feel the, Dad, I don't want you to be speaking to me about this. I want you to be my dad and let me find out my own way. So it's something you've got to just, work through, but the signs are pretty much there. If you pay attention and you start talking to your teenage son or daughter, trying to pass on advice, if they're glazing over and looking disinterested, you need to let them go. Most of the time the coaching's really good in the sports now. So let the experts coach and you just be there for support.
Which is really good. And I love the statement you just made that sometimes we try and put old heads on young shoulders. And I guess what you mean by that is we try and take our experience that we've learned and put it on their experience, and we need to let them develop their own experience in that as well. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, correct. We always try to make the path easier for our children, whatever field. But is that really doing them justice? We learn from making mistakes, and that's how we grow and develop. So don't be afraid. You're not going to make a perfect road, smooth without any potholes. Let them experience those, and you can be there to help them through those difficult times. If they do get into trouble or whatever, but you're not going to make it perfect for them.
Yeah, very good. And look, last question we'll leave on is you know, education's also important, training's important, and we have talked about the fact that he went to Echuca. Let me just get that right. He went to Echuca Primary School and Carey Grammar. Tell us, how did you balance the difference between, or the how did you balance the importance between education and having to train as an elite athlete for many hours in the week?
Once again, it's a fine balance. There was lots of training requirements once you've made certain teams. So trying to juggle that was hard, and there was a lot of conversations between school, your local football club, your representative football club, and then state training, and then Australian team training sometimes. So there could be four or five different entities trying to pull at the kids' time, which was hard to juggle, but you've got to get on the front foot and have those conversations. And once again, all those different organisations, footy clubs, are becoming better at understanding the balance of that. But it's important to, they just can't do it all. They'll put themselves in a real big hole. Schooling to us was really important. There needed to be balance in Jack's life. Couldn't just be all football. And that's one of the great achievements. He did really well with his VCE, is that what it's called? And he's gone into university, and once he's in the AFL system, he's just chipped away at doing a commerce and finance degree, which he'll actually finish up after the grand final, month after the grand final. So all of a sudden he'll have a degree in commerce finance, and it's taken 9 years to do, as well as having an AFL career. And at times it's been tough, instead of going on holidays overseas, or if he has gone for a bit of a break, he's taken his school books with him. So everything's a sacrifice, but to have balance in your life, you can't have all your self-worth tied up into how well you kick a footy, because there'll be some days, some weeks, some months where you don't kick the football that well, and then you need to have other things in your life that you can be proud of and be weighted out as important to you, and then take the stress out of just having the one string on your bow.
I mean, that's another great lesson that you guys have come up with, that statement, you can't have all your self-worth tied up in how you kick a footy. That I've never heard that mentioned, but it's brilliant, and I think it's really valid. So, look, we're really proud of the fact that, we've managed, SSV's managed to play a small part in his journey, but we're wrapped with just being able to connect with you, and good luck for Saturday. I'm sure you don't need luck. I'm sure Melbourne is looking pretty good, but look, good luck for Saturday. And we really hope that Saturday is the best it can be for you guys.
Thank you. We do too.
And thanks a lot. I mean, it's been a really important pathway for Jack. We really appreciate the coaching and mentoring that he got at that early stage in his career. And to this day, he's still in contact with his Vic coach, Andrew Nicol, and Terry Posley, who was a great mentor in that program too. So even to this day, all these years down the track, it's been an important part of his life.
Yeah, it's great. And it's interesting you mentioned Terry Plaza. Terry Plaza's played a huge part. I know that in the 15s, Sean Kavanagh as well. We got so many great team officials. They do put in a lot of time and energy into it. And people are surprised to hear that these team officials are not even paid. So they volunteer their time to do it, and they've put in so much effort. And you mentioned before how many have come through the program. It's pretty – we got 18 playing Saturday that have come through the Team Vic program, which is massive for us. So we're calling it a Team Vic grand final on Saturday.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Incredible.
Brilliant stuff. Thanks heaps for your time.
No worries, Raph.
Good honour. Bye, Raph.